You're listening to the Sermon on Mount Nittany, brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans.
Hello, Penn Staters, and welcome to the Sermon on Mount Nittany. My name is Tommy Butler.
And I am AP.
The Nittany Lions football team ended its regular season this past Saturday with a solid win over Maryland. They sit at 9-3 in 2018 as we await the ranking and bowl announcement. Penn State is ranked number 12 in the country in the CFP, but there are some chances that they don't end up in one of those New Year's Six bowls. We'll talk about that later. Meanwhile, the men's basketball team is looking better every game as they took down formerly undefeated 13th-ranked Virginia Tech on Tuesday night. Before we get into today's episode, however, I wanted to let you all know that, as always, this podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting with MyBookie. There's so much to bet on: college basketball and football, NBA, NHL custom props, even esports, you name it.
MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. They've been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Also, make sure to follow BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mentioned NDM, not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted.
Exactly. So don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log into MyBookie right now and use promo code MOUNT25 to get the 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code MOUNT25, MOUNT25. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. Today we're going to start off with one of my favorite things. At the end of each season, I always like to look at offense, defense, and special teams on the Penn State team and give them some grades as to how successful each category was position-wise. So we're going to try to keep this quick, I think. Maybe just give shout out a grade and then one or two reasons why, and then we'll go back and forth, or else we'll be here for half an hour. If we do end up disagreeing, if one of us says A and the other of us says D for whatever reason, we should definitely talk about that, because that will be interesting. I'm interested to see what you think of these positions. And then I'm going to try to save these picks so that we could talk about them at going into next year, how the team has improved, and stuff like that, maybe even at the end of next year.
Yeah.
So first off, would you like to start with quarterbacks?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, quarterback, that's one that I've been debating in my head the past few minutes. You know, it could range from a C to a B+. And the reason why I even say a C to start is because, you know, there were some inaccuracy issues outside of receivers dropping the ball. And, you know, sometimes the game just kind of, or the Michigan game more so than anything, got out of hand. And, I mean, you saw Trace when he was hurt. He definitely did not play up to his potential. And, yeah, that's why I'd say I'll go in between and say C+.
I was going to say B+, somewhere around there, just because your points make sense that he didn't play up to his potential this year. He didn't play quite as well as he did last year. I think a lot of that isn't on Trace, though, mainly because with an injury, the fact that he was still able to play the full year was impressive, and he got wins during that time. He had the brace on. He still has the brace on, and there were just so many drops that you can't attribute to Trace himself. So I'm going to say B+, but last year, maybe the year before, or 2016 is an A as well.
Yeah, the only reason why I said C+ is because, you know, when you go back and watch some of the games, there were quite a few long throws or throws that he definitely should have been able to make, and for whatever reason he just didn't. And, you know, maybe that attributes to him being a little hurt, but I mean, it's inexcusable in my opinion. Some of those passes were wide open. Like on Saturday, KJ Hamler was wide open quite a few times and McSorley just missed him, and that's on him.
I can definitely admit to those faults on occasion. So heading into the running backs, obviously biggest one is Miles Sanders. Ricky Slade also had 41 touches as a freshman. What do you give Miles Sanders and Ricky?
I give them an A. They looked very good all year. You know, outside of the struggles against Ohio State and Michigan, I mean, those are tough defenses. I mean, granted, Ohio State didn't play tough defense all year, but when they come to play, they come to play. And they did that week. Miles didn't have a great game, but outside of that, he looked like an absolute stud all season. There's a little bit of whispers about him to the NFL, but I expect him to be back next year.
I expect him to be back as well. I give him an A-, I'm going to say, mainly because in my mind, with what we've seen before from Saquon, I think giving an A at this point or an A-plus would be Saquon, of course. It's a little difficult for me to give a grade that high at this point. We know what the 5-star is. But Miles Sanders is Miles Sanders. He's done exactly what we expected him to do and more. There were a couple of games against smaller opponents, specifically for some reason, that either they didn't hand it to him very much or he didn't do as much as was expected from him. But overall, it was a great season, and I've heard those rumors as well. Really hoping we see him in blue and white again next year.
Absolutely. I think we will.
Moving on to the most exciting position for me heading into next year, at the very least, is tight end, specifically Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Pat, when you're talking about specifically Pat Freiermuth, I mean, how could you give him anything other than a B-plus or an A? I mean, going into this season, we expected a major drop-off at tight end with Mike Gesicki heading out the window. But, you know, once Freiermuth got into the lineup, I think the week before Ohio State, he really started playing more. But the Ohio State game is when he got his first start, and he hasn't looked back since then. Got a touchdown in that game, and he's looked like an absolute stud. 10 times better what Gesicki did his freshman year. Yeah, he's going to be a beast.
I remember. So what was your grade did you give them?
A.
A? I remember during Gesicki's freshman year, he was the biggest butterfinger tight end I've ever seen. He could catch absolutely nothing, and suddenly he's the best player. I think what changed was they were calling him Gesicki, and he didn't speak up about it until like junior year, and then he said it's Gesicki, and that's when he started to play well. But yeah, Pat Freiermuth, second. I've said it too many times during the show this season, but second highest rated freshman tight end coming in this season. Led the team in reception touchdowns with 7. Next highest was 5 for KJ Hamler. He catches the ball so consistently. He had the second most catches at 24, almost doubled by KJ. But the fact that he caught a ball, he would catch a ball over the middle, he'd get 10 yards and then trip.
Right.
He'd still get the first down. I mean, yes, he didn't have too many huge flashy plays that a small, fast guy like KJ is going to have. But yeah, I give him an A as well. Longest was 24 yards. He's a beast.
Absolutely. He just had them sure hands. You could pretty much consistently count on him. He had a couple drops here and there, which are uncharacteristic for him. But, I mean, more maturity. Once he gets better at blocking, he'll be excellent.
For sure. And he doesn't lack in the blocking necessarily.
No, he doesn't.
It's not a huge crutch for him, but
no.
More improvement over the years, this kid is going to be incredible.
Yeah, top three round NFL draft pick. I'd say top two, honestly.
That would be amazing. That again, this in 2 or 3 years, this team is going to be more than elite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to the wide receivers, obviously spearheaded by KJ Hamler. We saw a couple of other freshmen play at times, including Jahad Dotson and Justin Shorter made one catch across the year. But the big four, there were four players other than Pat Freiermuth that had more than 10 receptions. That's KJ with 41, Juwan with 23, DeAndre Tompkins with 21, and Jahad Dotson with 12. What is your grade for this unit as a whole?
Yeah, I'm going to be very tough on the receivers right now. Outside of KJ Hamler, the receivers group got a C minus, D plus. You add KJ Hamler in there, I'll give them a C. But the receivers were very inconsistent all year. I mean, outside of the young guys, Hamler and Dotson, you know, there were a lot of drops, and by the older guys as well. So it was very rough to watch the receivers play this year, as I'm a former receiver myself. So watching that kind of hurt myself a little bit. But yeah, it was a very rough year for the receivers. I'd say C minus or C.
Yeah, usually don't try to be a homer, but I'm usually very optimistic about most things. This is not one of those areas. Again, as you said, without KJ, this is a C minus, somewhere between C minus and D wide receiver core, just in terms of drops alone and the fact that there are so many freshman wide receivers that were the ones that ended up stepping up. KJ Hamler brings that to a C minus a C, somewhere around there, because kind of like Pat Freiermuth, if you don't include Pat Freiermuth or KJ, that's your two top players.
Absolutely. I mean, without those two guys, Trace McSorley's year would have been extremely long.
Yeah, and I mean, it might not have been that long because he wouldn't have had anyone to throw to, and then he would have been hit even more.
Yeah, true.
So it might have ended up being shorter. It would have felt longer, but he wouldn't have been on the field for as long.
And right, good point.
There are a lot of things to point at. Penn State played their best game by far against Ohio State. I don't think anyone out there is going to argue with that. And then they go and they score, what, not even 30 points against Rutgers? I can't remember what the final score of that game was.
What was that score? They won, but it was 27 to 7 or something like that, 20-7.
All I know is that I didn't pay that much attention to the Rutgers game.
Yeah, no.
Either way, it was 20-7. That's not a good score for the number 12 team in the country against a 1-10 Rutgers team.
Yeah, that was a tough game to watch. And I mean, at least they came out with the win, but yeah, that was a very tough game to watch.
I think there's not much else you can really say about the wide receiver core. As the years go on, I think we're going to see a ton from KJ. He's possibly the best player on this team once Trace graduates, he'll be one of the most explosive. Miles Sanders is up there as well. Who else is up there with those two as best position players?
Yeah, if you're talking on offense, I mean, there's really nobody else outside of Miles and KJ. I mean, obviously Pat Freiermuth, but I wouldn't consider that a skill position. Talent-wise, I mean, there's a lot of people. But as far as what they've proven on the field, yeah, it's Miles and KJ and then a bunch of unprovens.
Either way, I give it a C-. You gave it a C- or D+ if you don't include Hamler, a C with Hamler as the full squad. This area is going to improve greatly over the course of the next years, but we'll talk about that when it's time to start talking about the new upcoming season. Moving on to offensive line. This is one that I have a little trouble grading when you have a quarterback that is known for running. Because especially during the early part of the season, I felt like Trace was moving out of the pocket almost constantly. But a lot of the times, if you look at the tape, he didn't necessarily have to. Then again, he also got sacked 25 times.
It was a pretty rough year for the offensive line for what they were expecting out of them coming in. But it wasn't a horrible year as well. I mean, Miles Sanders looked like a beast, and he gave credit to the offensive line all year. I think it was just a pass protection problem. I don't know why. But for the offensive line overall, I'd give them a B- or a C+. And, I mean, that's just – there was a lot of pressure on McSorley all year. There were a few different games where you could have blamed the offensive line for offense not doing much. But, I mean – we're still looking for improvement from them. They didn't live up to the expectations that I thought that they would be playing this year.
You can definitely say that. Then again, the expectations at the beginning of the year were this is going to be one of the best offensive lines Penn State's ever seen. So which I'm sure is going to happen next year as well, just because that's the way fans see things until the first five games. But yeah, they didn't live up to expectations. The expectations may not have been fully fair, but Penn State did still average 6.2 yards per play on offense, which will get you first downs.
That's not anything to scoff at right there.
I'm going to say C plus as well, just because it was around there. It's certainly better than it has been in the past, but it wasn't an elite offensive line.
Yeah, definitely not elite.
Here's the one now that most fans are going to be criticizing the most, and that's coaching. Specifically, offensive coordinator Ricky Ronnie. It does look like it should be Rain, but it's Ronnie and James Franklin. He kind of, I'm not entirely sure what he has to do with the offense because he really wants to be the guy. He wants to have everything go through him. But you hire an offensive coordinator to coordinate your offense. You have other things to work on as the head coach. So either way, what would you give the coaching for the offense?
For James Franklin, I would give him a B minus or a B. And that just goes into some of the personnel that he decided to bring on in the offseason. And I mean, that includes Ricky Ronnie, because Ricky Ronnie, I will give him a C minus. I'll be fair there and give him a C minus. Offense still had its moments where it looked very good, but then there were a lot of times where you were left scratching your head, like Miles Sanders going off for 150 yards against Wisconsin, and then you come out the next week and throw it three times the first three plays. It just doesn't make sense sometimes. Ronnie, he gets the C minus. And James Franklin, he gets a B, because I'm not sold on the hire of the wide receivers coach, Corley Jr. I'm just not 100% sold on him yet, because the
Yeah, that's
receivers didn't look too
something.
good.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be something that fans are going to pay a lot of attention to over the off season. I say that I give James Franklin a B minus, mainly because of the fourth down and five call on against Ohio State. There was a similar one a couple of times across the season. Just sort of overthinking it is the big problem, and a lot of the questionable play calling throughout the game, inability to drive downfield at times, that has to be more on the actual play calling of the offensive coordinator, Ricky Ronnie. I'm going to give him a C minus. I think that's fair. I don't think he was the worst ever. Penn State still ended up as number 12 in the country, but this
He
was
wasn't John
also,
Donovan.
yeah, for sure. Again, similar to the offensive line, it's not the worst we've ever seen. It's not the best we've ever seen. The best we've seen in a while is now a head coach at Mississippi State. So, yeah. Would I fire Ricky Ronnie this year? No, I don't think so. If the same thing happens next year, maybe. Maybe demote him at
Yeah,
the very least.
I agree with you. Next year, it might be time to start looking after next year if things kind of transpire the same way this year. But to be honest with you, there was really one game that Penn State lost this year, and that was Michigan.
Yeah,
There,
but
I'm, I'm, I'm
we
sorry.
knew that was going to
Penn
be.
State lost all three of their games this year, but there was only one game where the other team actually beat them this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think little changes here and there, and this is an 11-1 team.
Absolutely.
Ohio State easily could have been a win. Michigan State was a surprising loss.
Yeah. And then
Michigan.
honestly, the Michigan game, it was very close for a while. It just got out of hand in the second half. And that just kind of goes into the I'd say the mental of the team, because obviously it was still a close game at halftime and in the third quarter. But the team just could not get anything going. And, they had that field goal block return for a touchdown get called back. Their confidence wasn't high that game, I don't think. And it got out of hand fast.
I agree. I think The one thing to ease the mind of Penn State fans everywhere is that Michigan is not in the Big Ten championship,
Right.
which I still cannot believe. I cannot believe that they did not make the Big Ten championship after being number four in the country for 2 weeks in a row.
Right. Yeah. That was very shocking on Saturday to see that. And it saddened me a little bit because, I kind of wanted to see Michigan pull it off for the first time in a while, see some of these Ohio State fans out here salty. But, I mean, hey, great game by Ohio State, and hats off to them, I guess.
The interesting question here is that a couple of weeks ago, I asked you if Penn State fans should be rooting for Michigan to make the CFP, to make the Big Ten look better, and you were fervent that that was not the case, that you did not like Michigan. I mean, you're in Ohio right now.
Right.
Is it, are you a little frustrated just because you wanted to see the Ohio fans that gave you crap when Penn State lost? Angry.
Yeah. I wanted to see them a little salty about it. It wasn't anything as far as me rooting for Michigan or rooting against Ohio State or anything. It's just I wanted to see my peers have a little salt,
I mean, I can understand that for sure. I'm a Patriots fan. I know the fact that everybody hates me. So I've gotten used to that. I've gotten used to the fact that people keep or were making fun of me a ton here in Pennsylvania after the Eagles won. And I'm just glad that
Yeah.
the Eagles won because it's a better story at this point.
Oh,
I'm not
definitely. Amazing
frustrated
story.
because yeah, I've been able to watch five Super Bowls in my lifetime. All right. I think that's really it for the offense. We'll do the defense. Maybe the special teams next week, if not special teams the week afterwards. We'll preview what bowl we're going to be in next week because we're still waiting on that. That comes out on Sunday, I believe. Speaking of the
Yes.
bowl, it looks good on the CFP poll. Penn State is ranked number 12. That's what you want. That's how you get into the New Year's Six, the top 12 teams. The problem is the conference tie-ins.
Yeah.
So what do we see here? There's a chance that Penn State might not be in a New Year's Six despite the fact that they're one of the top 12 teams.
So really the only two New Year's Six bowls that Penn State has a real shot at getting into are the Citrus and I believe the Fiesta Bowl. And
Is the Citrus Bowl a New Year's Six Bowl? I thought it was the Rose, Sugar, Orange,
no,
Cotton, Fiesta, and
I'm sorry,
Peach.
the peach. I always
There we go. All
confuse the
right.
peach and citrus because they're both citrus. Like peach is a citrusy fruit. So but no. The only two New Year's Six bowls that Penn State can get in are the Peach and Fiesta, and that'll come down to conference tie-ins because, yeah, like you mentioned earlier, conference tie-ins. Alabama would presumably win or loss on Saturday. Alabama will be in the college football playoff. They are a lock.
You have to
So.
admit that, yeah, even if they lose to Georgia, they're a one-loss Alabama team that has destroyed everybody that loses
Right.
to the number four team in the country is still going to be at least the number four team in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So Alabama's a lock. What Penn State really wants to root for this weekend is Georgia to beat Alabama because that keeps Georgia in, and that would move two SEC teams into the college football playoff, meaning Florida gets the SEC automatic bid into the Sugar Bowl. Now, if Georgia loses to Alabama and Alabama beats him decisively, then obviously Georgia would fall out of the top four, putting Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and then that would put Florida in the Peach Bowl. Now, if Alabama barely beats Georgia and it's like a really, really good game back and forth the entire time, there is a chance that Georgia stays in the top four, depending on how Ohio State and Oklahoma look on Saturday, obviously. But if that happens, Penn State can make it into the Peach Bowl. So really, you want to root for Georgia to at least look really good, at least look like a top four team. The Big 12 and Big 10 championship games, I mean, honestly, root for whoever you want. It doesn't matter too much at this point. Really, the one that you're going to be watching is the SEC championship game.
Yes. So what you were saying is basically Rose Bowl, there are the Rose, Sugar, and Orange Bowls all have conference tie-ins. So the Rose Bowl has to take the best Big Ten team not in the playoff and the best Pac-12 team. So
Right.
the problem with that is that if Georgia loses and they lose bad, they will fall or they will not be in the top four. It will probably be taken over by Oklahoma
Right.
if Oklahoma wins as well. If Oklahoma wins and Georgia loses, there are no more Big 12 teams in the top 12. The next Big 12 team is Texas, which is number 14. Because of
Where's West
that,
Virginia?
West Virginia is currently 16. So if West Virginia wins, then Oklahoma drops, West Virginia jumps up. As well as Texas, Penn State could then get out of the top 12. Either way, if Oklahoma wins and makes it into the top four, Penn State gets cut out of that because they're number 12. They get cut out in place of number 14, Texas, because they're the only other Pac-12 team, which is kind of frustrating and annoying because the only
Yeah.
that's Penn State is the number 12 team in college football. So I mean, I don't know that much about the history of conference tie-ins, but if that prevents Penn State from being in a conference tie-in, that's at least twice in 3 years that Penn State has had a huge, I don't even know how to describe it, just oversight, where Penn State could have been in the college football playoff in 2016 after winning the
Right.
Big Ten championship, but Ohio State went in ahead of them.
Yeah.
Penn State is
And
number 12 in the country now. Despite all this, they might not be in a New Year's Six Bowl.
well, now don't get too discouraged about some of the results on Saturday, because if you remember, I think it was 2010 or 2011, the Rose Bowl was, because the Rose Bowl is traditionally, before the college football playoff era, or when it's not the college football playoff, it is traditionally Big Ten champ versus Pac-12 champ.
Yes.
2011, I want to say it is, or say it was the year Wisconsin won the Big Ten, went to the Rose Bowl, and the Pac-12 was so bad that year that the champion didn't even go. It was actually TCU that went and kind of eliminated that conference tie in that year. So, I mean, there is a slim chance. But I still think, if, let's say, Texas beats Oklahoma this weekend, Texas will be in the New Year's Six, will be in the New Year's Six game. I have seen a couple scenarios where they have West Virginia in a New Year's Six bowl. I think the Orange Bowl is what I've been seeing a few times with them. I'm not too sure why them, because they're 16th. I mean, they have played good football all year, but yeah, it's
I
pretty
think
weird to see them.
the idea with that is if Texas gets slaughtered, Oklahoma moves into the top four, and then Texas is going to drop because they lost, and West Virginia, because they don't play a game this weekend, will stay just above them, and that's how they'll be in over Penn State again.
Yeah, that actually would make sense, because if Oklahoma beats Texas this weekend, West Virginia already beat Texas this year. So if Texas
Yeah.
loses, they will fall behind West Virginia. So that's where you'll see West Virginia leapfrog Texas and get into. Okay, so ne yeah, so now I got it. Yeah.
Other than that, the big question, the only other real thing that I can see preventing Oklahoma from jumping into four if Georgia does end up losing is an incredible game by Ohio State. And I'm not entirely sure. An incredible one-sided game by Ohio State and a tight game maybe between Texas and Oklahoma. But
Yeah.
that would then mean that Ohio State is in, Oklahoma doesn't make it, so Oklahoma is in. Georgia would then fill some spot in the SEC, and Penn State would be the second. They would be, again, an at-large team
Right.
because
Yeah.
Michigan would then be number one instead of Michigan taking, or Ohio State being in the Rose Bowl, Michigan possibly being in the Orange Bowl because they take the second Big Ten, the ACC number one, and possibly the SEC second, or Notre Dame. Notre Dame didn't lose, so there's no chance that they're going to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. They'll be in the playoffs. Other than that, yeah, Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl are the likely ones for Penn State if they're going to make it, but I don't. That's a lot of things that have to go right for Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. It's looking like we can pack our bags for Orlando, Florida for the Citrus Bowl, which most likely looks like Kentucky will be our opponent.
I don't know if I'm a huge fan of that. We can definitely talk about this more in depth once we find out for sure, but Kentucky, that sounds like kind of a boring game.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, Kentucky has a little bit of juice with Benny Snell, but yeah.
They have a great defense, no offense.
Right.
That's kind of what Penn State has at the moment, but they have an explosive offense at times, and sometimes they're just not there.
Right.
Either way, talking about Ohio State, Northwestern, I want to get your thoughts quickly. Don't want to spend too much time on it because it's not Penn State. Penn State doesn't really care about this game unless, again, Ohio State dominates for whatever reason, and they should. Not Notre Dame, Northwestern. All that I really want from this game is that Northwestern wears purple.
Yeah, I doubt that you'll see that. Well, actually, let me think. No, Northwestern will be in their road whites because last year it alternates every other year. So 2 years ago, the East wore their home uniforms. Obviously, that was Penn State. We wore our blues, and then last year Wisconsin wore their red. This year, Ohio State will be in their scarlet.
That's disappointing because Northwestern's uniforms are some of the best in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. I love them.
I still feel that football should take after European football and just wear their home colors at all times unless the opposing team has the same color.
Yeah, that would be
Because
awesome.
there are so many red teams that they would have to wear away colors a lot, but Penn State would be able to wear blue almost every game.
Yeah, and I love the blue uniforms.
They just look flashier.
Yeah.
Either way, I say that's all that I really have to say about football for now. We'll find out on Sunday. We'll talk about where Penn State is, what that means, next week. Do you have anything else to mention?
No, I do not, but let's go Georgia.
Sounds like a plan. We're all Bulldogs this weekend. Before we get into men's basketball, I want to remind our listeners not to miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code MOUNT25 to get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code MOUNT25, MOUNT 25. You play, you win, you get paid. So, big news from men's basketball this week. This was maybe not one of the most exciting games we've watched even this calendar year from the men's basketball team. But Big Ten ACC Challenge. This is something that the ACC always dominates in. The Big
Yeah.
Ten won half of them this year, which is honestly a
Remarkable.
big accomplishment.
Yeah, last year I remember last year the Big Ten was 1-13 in this challenge. And so yeah, looks like they made a lot of strides this in one calendar year. And Big Ten looked very good this past week.
Yeah, Penn State. Being obviously my most impressive win, beating Virginia Tech by, was it 2 points or 1 point? I don't have it
It was
up right in
one,
front. Yeah, just
69,
one.
68.
It was such a close game too. Right at the end, it got kind of nerve-wracking. But Penn State's freshman Myrian Jones, I'm not entirely sure if that's a Y or an I sound.
I think they pronounce it Myron.
Myron Jones.
Yeah.
He led the team in points with 18, which is a little surprising because it's the first time this season that Stevens didn't get 20 points. But 7 for 11 from the field, 6 from 6 on the floor, on the floor, not the field. I'm still getting used to basketball. And 5 from 5 beyond the arc in his first 14 in 18 minutes on the floor. That is just I mean, this, if we're talking about Penn State teams that are young and going to be impressive in the future, as well as surprisingly impressive now, this basketball team is one of them.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that because, you know, the week of Thanksgiving, Penn State suffered two losses that weren't pretty, but they weren't horrible either. They lost, I can't remember the first one off the top of my head, but they lost by like three or four. And then they lost to Bradley in the Cancun Challenge final by three. And, you know, Penn State fans were going on Twitter and Instagram bashing Coach Chambers, saying he can't coach, blah, 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 blah. This team sucks. All that different type of things. Coach Chambers needs fired. If you're one of those people that says Coach Chambers needs fired, don't be a fan of Penn State basketball because you obviously can't appreciate what Coach Chambers has done. Just the work ethic, the attitude that the team comes to play with game in and game out now, the way that they approach the game, the way that he is recruiting. I mean, the players that he is bringing in now are instant impact players as freshmen. Miles Dredd, Myron Jones, Rasir Bolton, you know,
Yeah.
that's three this year. He not to mention he got Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, the first Big Ten or the first Penn State player drafted to the NBA since 1999, and the first ever underclassman drafted from Penn State. He left after sophomore year. Yeah, I mean, I guess that could just go to coaching, you know. Yeah, Coach Chambers didn't have anything to do with that. No, not at all. They just locked up a commitment from another high four-star point guard out of Philadelphia this past week. I mean, the things that Coach Chambers is doing is excellent with this program, and I really don't think people understand how hard it is to turn a football school into a school. Well, I mean, I wouldn't really consider Penn State a football school because they're good at pretty much every sport, but Penn State basketball was always. I'll just flat out say it. They've always been bad, garbage. And when Coach Chambers took it over, you know, it was a struggle for him. But I think he's finally found his niche here. He's finally got the team in rhythm. They won the NIT last year. Now this season they've beaten two ranked teams. I mean, the win against West Virginia was a preseason game, but I mean, we'll still count that. I mean, they still played the game and won. This
Yeah.
basketball team is young. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to shoot ill-advised shots here and there, but you can't blame it on coaching. These are young players outside of Stevens and Josh Reeves and Mike Watkins. Outside of those three players, this team doesn't have much experience on the floor in college basketball. So you guys need,
No, no.
we need to stick with them.
Definitely. And you said so the one team that you couldn't remember off the top of your head was DePaul. That was
Yes,
the
thank you.
semifinal of that tournament. Penn State also came back from a 10 plus point deficit in the last few minutes to bring that game to overtime and just weren't able to clinch that game. That's still impressive in its own right. The three
Exactly.
point loss to Bradley is a little disappointing, but again, this is a team that's never been good in most seasons. Won the NIT last year, incredibly young, lost their best scorers in not only Tony Carr, but also Shep Gardner.
Right.
And they're not famous, but around campus, they're famous for being poor in non-conference. You're going to
Exactly.
lose a few games. If you're better against a number 13th ranked team than a team like Bradley, yeah, those losses tend to hurt once you get later on in the year, but you only need to be the 64th best team in basketball. I
Exactly.
think this team can be in that list.
Oh, without a doubt. I definitely expect this team to at least be, if they don't make the tournament, they'll be one of the first eight teams out and in the NIT again. But I fully expect them to make the NCAA tournament. Yeah, this team has made a few mistakes early on in the season, but this is a young team. Let them grow. By the end of the season, they're going to be clicking. They already knocked off a ranked team, and we're four games into the season. So, I mean, if they can keep trending in the right direction, this is going to be a very good basketball team.
Exactly. Watkins is back. He wasn't too flashy in that game against Virginia Tech, but he did have seven rebounds. He did show up. He did play. John Herat is playing really well. He had a couple of nice steals. One of them, he was given a foul on, but I think that was a missed call. Stevens had an uncharacteristically low scoring game, but it was against a number 13th ranked team that was doubling him most of the time. And then turnovers were really the only other problem that I saw from this Penn State team. Josh Reeves, who's usually very stingy with turnovers, gave up six, which led the team. There were 16 total for across the Nittany Lions through the game. Those are things that when you discover them this early in the season, you have that ability to fix it later on. And you mentioned how great these freshman players are. They're all getting some really quality minutes already. And you have a guy named Miles Dredd on your team. That is one of the best things that you can have as a PA guy, is a last name like Dredd.
Yeah. He's gonna be an absolute monster. He looks like he's gonna fit the bill as far as, filling Shep Garner's shoes. He's a little more of a well-rounded player than Garner was, but he can still shoot the lights out from deep.
Yeah, we have a couple of, as fans, we get to see a couple of really young shooters that are not specializing, but they're good at 3-point shooting. If they don't make the N the not NIT, but if they don't make the NCAA tournament this year, you have to guess that they're going to at least over the next 2 years. Because as these
Yeah,
guys get
definitely.
better, hopefully Lamar Stevens stays for next season. I think after this season, Josh Reeves will graduate, but
Yes, he will.
and Mike Watkins is, I think he might graduate after this season too. But you got John Hurrah, you have Trent Buttrick, you have all these freshmen who are really impressive. This team is going to be noteworthy nationally in a couple of years, if not by the end of this year.
Absolutely. And I mentioned a commitment earlier when I was talking. That commitment was a four-star point guard from Roman Catholic, the same high school that Tony Carr, Nazir Bostic, and Lamar Stevens came from. Four-star point guard. It is Seth Lundy, and he's an absolute stud. He's going to be coming in next year. So if we can get Lamar Stevens back with the addition of Seth Lundy and these freshmen that we have now, it's going to be a very scary team.
You can say that again. When this episode goes out at that night, 5 p.m. is a game against the Terrapins at Maryland for the Nittany Lions. Number 24, the Terrapins are ranked at the moment. That will be on BTN. That looks like it's going to be another good game. But if Penn State can play like they did against Virginia Tech, it could be a huge boost in morale going into to start the Big Ten season. Maryland lost or a few days ago to Virginia by 5 points. That's number four. So that's going to be a difficult game. They scored 100 on, is that Marshall? Yeah, the Marshall
Yeah.
Thundering Herd. They scored 104, which is scary. But this team, I think, I mean, if you can beat the number 13 team, you have a chance to beat the number 24.
Yeah, and it's going to be a road game too. So if they can come out and knock the Terrapins off, that's going to be another early marquee win that they can count on towards March.
After that, on Tuesday, Penn State will take on, I believe it's Indiana.
Yes, it is.
Yes, Indiana at 7 p.m. That is at Penn State, so be sure to get to that game. That will also be on BTN if you're unable. This is a team that I will be watching all of their games.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm definitely going to be watching them all. And yeah, definitely make sure you get out to the BJC on Tuesday to support the Nittany Lions against Indiana. I know that the Legion of Blue, they're doing a lot of promotions and stuff to get students to come out. So if you're a student at Penn State listening to this, you'll want to make sure that you go to the BJC, see if you can get yourself some goodies. And I mean, if you're just a Penn State fan who happens to not be a student, why would you not want to go support the up and coming Nittany Lion basketball team? Help them keep climbing.
Especially during the winter break, if you're still in State College and you don't have anything better to do, you got games to go to. You have Colgate is in Pennsylvania on the 8th at 2 p.m. and then NC State arrives on the 15th. That will also be on ESPNU at 2, and then the 19th, the 21st, the 29th. January 3rd is at Michigan, so you won't be able to see that, but Wisconsin comes on the 6th. These are games that you can definitely write down on the calendar.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's going to be a fun season for them.
Other than that, I don't have much else to talk about for this episode. Do you have anything else, AP?
No, I don't think I do.
All right. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in here to the Sermon on Mount Nittany. My name is Tommy Butler here alongside AP. Have a great rest of your week, and we are
Penn State.